Morning. It's good to be with you. Good to see all of you, especially those. We're glad that you're here. We do appreciate Ethan's thoughts for us at the Lord's table this morning, and the things that have been done to focus our minds on the reason that we're here. Also, want to add to Rex's comments that we keep Michael and his family in your prayers. Michael is very close to his father. And so this is a very difficult time for them. We have been studying in the book of Proverbs, looking at different subjects that the wise writing outlines for us. And one subject that in particular that is talked about quite a bit in the book of Proverbs is the subject of anger. I do find it ironic that it fell upon this week that I was going to do this lesson, because there have been few things that have made me angry this week. In fact, yesterday afternoon I received a text from a preacher friend of mine here in town that wanted to know if I knew of someone who could do counseling on anger issues. And as I was trying to think of who to refer him to, I didn't know if it was for him or if it was for somebody else. I thought maybe I need to go see him too. But it's something that people do need from time to time. And if you're not having any anger issues and you want some, go to Best Buy in Hoover, and they will help you to have some. I mean, I'll talk to you offline about that later. But had a couple of experiences there this week. And then yesterday they sent me a survey wanting to know how my service was. Yes. And I got to fill out the survey and tell them exactly how it was. But when Solomon is teaching his son about how to have a good life in the here and now, and of course in the future as well, Solomon, sees fit to speak to his son about the need to control anger. And we often fail to recognize how anger adversely affects our lives in so many ways. Maybe we are aware of that, but we still don't control it. So Solomon sits his son down to explain to him the effects of uncontrolled anger and the reasons that anger needs to be controlled, and some practical advice on how that can be done. So there's a number of proverbs throughout the book that show the many problems in life that are due to uncontrolled anger. So we want to look at some of those effects of uncontrolled anger. First of all, uncontrolled anger is going to cause you to act foolishly. In Proverbs chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, it says, "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated." If you don't recognize the little icon there, that's from a Disney movie, Inside Out. And his name is Anger. That's the name of the character. And you can see that he literally is hot-headed. And that's what Proverbs is pointing out here, that the one who is hot-headed is a fool. The one who is hot-headed is reckless. He is going to do foolish things based on his uncontrolled anger. And uncontrolled anger, really reveals your foolishness. So we really do know the truth of this proverb. If we look at ourselves, or if we look at others, and certainly if we look at the world, I've seen people that get so angry in traffic because somebody cut them off, or somebody's weaving in and out of traffic, that the foolish person will chase after the person that's cut them off and try to retaliate or do something to them. So you're going to do something to that person that's driving badly. And we look like fools when we feel like we're justified in behaving that way. I'll just go ahead and tell you a short illustration of that based on the Best Buy experience, that I was looking for something in particular, and it was a item that that shouldn't have been hard to find. So I asked one of the blue shirts there, you know, where are the Bluetooth headphones? He says, I can't answer your question right now. I'm off the clock. And he walks away. And other people around heard the same response, and everybody was aghast that he would have behaved in that way. And the funny thing is, when I got the survey about how was our service, you know, I mentioned that, and they defended his action, saying that it was against their rules to help customers when they were off the clock. And so, really, you're going to defend that bad? You're going to defend that bad behavior? You know, you're not very customer service oriented. And I said some other things too, but there's different ways that I could have reacted to that situation. I could have announced it from the rooftops in the store, and let everybody know, you know, don't ask this guy, you know, for anything. I did the next one that came by, though. I did ask, are you on the clock? And he said, yes. I said, okay, good. I've got a question for you. So, you know, that was something that did make me angry. And so there's different ways that could have escalated based on whether or not I was in control of myself. And so if you get into a situation like that and you yell at a waiter or you yell at a sales clerk or you're, you know, you may be reacting to a situation that's bad, but how does that make you look to react in that way when it shows that you have no control of yourself? So lack of control, uncontrolled anger, makes us to look foolish. It is also something that causes strife. An angry man, Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man commits many sins. It's no secret that anger creates relationship problems. And, you know, I remember when I first got into the workforce, after getting out of college, there was a coworker that I had that really was angry all the time, and it did cause relationship problems between her and everybody else in the office. That was just kind of her nature, and people expected it, but it caused relationship problems with everybody that she came in contact with. And certainly we don't want to be that person. We should not want to be to have that kind of label put upon us, is that, well, you know, Randy is so hot-headed and disagreeable that we really can't talk to him. Anger does not resolve problems. You know, when is the last time that you had a big outburst of wrath, you know, whether it was you or someone else, that it really helped you get what you wanted? When's the last time that your outburst of wrath, you know, with another person brought about the apology that you were looking for? Usually that doesn't happen. Anger usually escalates an issue. It escalates a situation into a more contentious quarrel. So you're usually not fixing things. You're not correcting things with outbursts of anger. You are making them worse. You're creating more problems through your anger. Here's a very interesting proverb in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. It says, for as churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. That's a great illustration. I don't need to really do a lot of commentary on what that means. We understand that, right? We know that most of us haven't made butter. Maybe we've been to some place where they've got something old-fashioned, they're showing you how butter's made. We know where to go get it at the store, but that's the way that it's made. It's churned. The butter is made by churning. And if you want to twist your nose to test this other part of the proverb, you can do that too. The twisting the nose produces blood, but the stirring up of anger produces problems. That's what Solomon is telling his son. If you don't want problems, here's a way to keep away from having problems, is to not be such an angry person. It causes strife. The angry person also cannot be taught. Chapter 19, verse 19, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Have you ever talked to a person? I know we all have. We've talked to those that we don't really get to do a whole lot of talking. It seems that if we are talking, you can tell by the look on their face that they're just waiting for their chance to jump back in and to say something that if you want to say something, you better say it real quick because they're full of words and they're not going to give you a chance to speak. Or a man who is hasty in his words, who is not thoughtful, and that's really the idea that I think is being brought across here in this proverb, the one who doesn't think before he talks, that he's always going to react very quickly and make rash judgments. Do you see a man who is hasty, who is always ready with an answer? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So that's very telling. Because when it says there's more hope for a fool, well, how much hope is there for a fool? You know from the Proverbs that there's not any hope for the fool. And the Proverbs says the one who won't be quiet, the one who's very hasty in his words, there's more hope for the fool than for him. So that's a terrible situation to be in, to be, you know, less teachable than a fool. The person who is quick to speak has very little hope. And anger, it really, you know, fits in here because uncontrolled anger is a reactionary thing that does not really commonly deal with situations. If we decide we're justified in our uncontrolled anger, what kind of hope do you have? A hot-tempered man, Proverbs 19, verse 19, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. This proverb is making a similar point, that the person that is so tied up in their anger and is hot-headed and hot-tempered, there's no hope for them. Why? Because it's saying that they do the same thing over and over, that they're not learning from their mistakes. They're not teachable. You're not able to help that person because they're not in control and they continue not to be in control. So that's not a good situation to be in, and it's very foolish. Also, the one who has uncontrolled anger is defenseless. It's described this way in Proverbs chapter 25. It says that it's like a city whose walls are broken down. That's a man who lacks control. A man that lacks control is like a city who has walls broken down. You know, there's a lot of talk about walls today, right? And the reason that you have walls is for protection. It's supposed to keep bad things from getting in. And that's the thing that the wise writer is saying. A city that has walls broken down, and certainly very important in the days that this was written. It's very common for cities to have walls. There would be people up on top of the walls, you know, standing guard. And so the reason that you had those is for protection. But the person who lacks control, the person who lacks any self-control and has uncontrolled anger is like a city that doesn't have any protection. Broken walls are of no value to a city. The city is totally defenseless, open for attack. And so when you lack self-control, you show that you are defenseless. And so what are you open to if you are defenseless? Well, think about the effect that you can have on others as a Christian. If you are a person that in your place of work, you have no control over what you say, you have no control over your actions, you're known as a loose cannon. How does that bring honor to God? How does that bring honor to the cause of Christ? So we could be open to a charge that you're not really a disciple. You're not really a child of God. You're certainly not behaving like one. So you can be found vulnerable in your walk with God, or what should be your walk with God. For instance, if something doesn't go the way we want it to go, what's our reaction? We get upset, lose control of our emotions. I've had something this week with work that didn't go the way that I wanted it to, and my first reaction was to react or to want to react, but I decided I don't need to react to this right now. I need to gather more information. I need to be very careful in the way that I respond to this. And it's a good thing that I did, because I think I would have made some mistakes if I had reacted right away with the things that I thought of right off the cuff. Because I did find out some other things that gave me more information about the situation. So it wasn't what I initially thought that it was. If I had reacted with anger as I really wanted to in the beginning, it would have made me look foolish, because I would have been reacting to something that I didn't have all the facts about. A man who cannot control himself is like a city without a wall. It means that you have a weakness, and we don't want that to be a weakness in our life. We want to be strong. Also, anger is something that is contagious. It's contagious. Proverbs 22, verse 24 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." Some of you are familiar with podcast, and a podcast is simply like a radio show that's been recorded, and you can listen to it with your phone or on the internet or whatever. And there's different podcasts out there for different subjects that you might be interested in. And one particular podcast I listen to, there is a person that is known to have rants once in a while. And actually, it seems that the people look forward to the rants. And they'll say, "Okay, this is a good one to listen to, because at 2 minutes and 32 seconds into the podcast, Pete goes on a rant. Oh, let's hear what he's angry about this time." And so I think about that, and sometimes the things that he says are kind of humorous and funny, and you might agree with him. But then I thought, here we are encouraging, listening. We're going to listen to this one, and there's all these likes and the number of hits that this particular show gets whenever there's a rant goes way up. What is that saying? That people are making friends with an angry man. Don't make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. It's very important to dwell on this, that anger is something that is learned. And that's why Solomon is telling his son, don't spend time with the hot-tempered person. Don't be spending time with those that are easily angered, because you're going to become just like them. You're going to have the same traits. As parents, we really need to think about that, because the way that we react, the way that we behave, we pass down things to our children that we may not necessarily want passed down. We teach our children that outbursts of wrath are the best ways to deal with negative situations. Is that what we teach through our behavior? New King James reads it this way: "You set a snare for your soul." In other words, you're setting a trap for your soul. You're putting your soul in danger when you associate with those who have no control and have a hot temper. And you're setting a snare for others that may associate with you, especially those in your own household. So what are some reasons that we should control anger? I think they're pretty obvious. why we need to control anger. Number one, it shows strength. It shows strength to be able to control our anger. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures the city. This is Proverbs 16:32. So strength of character is really the greatest strength. You know, a lot of times people are very proud of their muscles and how much physical strength that they might have. But, you know, strength of character is something that's much, much more important. And we gain respect, we gain appreciation by others when they can see that you have a strength of character. And some of the people that I have admired most in my life are the ones that I have seen have been so good at self-control. In the midst of everything going crazy around them, and there's chaos, and there's anger, and there's all kinds of bad situations going on around them, yet they have been, you know, one of the few people that might be totally in control and not reacting emotionally. And people look to them for advice. They look to them for respect. You want to be that person because it shows strength. It shows godliness. It also shows wisdom. It shows wisdom. Proverbs 15, verse 23 says, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." This is telling us that wisdom has the ability to say the right thing at the right time. And the ability to say the right thing, especially in a difficult situation. And that's another thing that I greatly admire in others. Those that have the ability to know what to say. You know, in situations where there's great stress or there's great grief or problems, the person that is restrained and the person that is thoughtful in the things that they say, they can really change the course of a situation by their choice of words. It takes wisdom. Wisdom is the man that has an apt answer and a timely word, saying the right thing at the right time. And that comes from not reacting off the cuff. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here that can think of many, many times where I've said something quickly and then realized that I should have thought a little bit more before I opened my mouth. Before we react, we need to calmly and rationally speak. What's the result of that? Well, wise writer says it brings joy to your life. Bring joy to other people's life too. Proverbs 14, verse 29, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." In other words, you are quick-tempered, you're just going to blow up situations. You're going to take something that may have been bad in the beginning and you just made it worse. And that's not the way that we need to be. Also, the person that is going to control their anger, it's one that they're going to bring honor to their life. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. And we've just read a number of Proverbs that tell us how, you know, anger brings about strife. And it's pretty obvious that is the case. And now it's telling us that it's honorable to avoid strife. And, you know, part of that is just to avoid all this uncontrolled rage and anger. Proverbs 19, verse 11, "A person with good sense is slow to anger. It is to his credit that he overlooks an offense." That he doesn't react to everything. And so strength, wisdom, and honor, those are the attributes of the person that can control their anger. So a couple of other thoughts before we close out the lesson. How to restrain our anger. First of all, we need to realize that there is a bad outcome of a hot answer. Proverbs 15, verse 1, probably one of the more familiar of the Proverbs, is that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We all know that one, and we don't always apply it. But uncontrolled anger, it's saying, does not achieve the results that we think it's going to achieve. We think that our anger, we're going to get angry, it's going to cause another person to capitulate to us. It's going to cause them to, if we get really, really angry, it's going to cause them to do what we want them to do. Yet that very often does not happen. The uncontrolled anger does not bring forth the apology. The uncontrolled anger does not bring forth a resolution to the problem. It just escalates the situation. Anger stirs up strife. A harsh answer brings about more anger. You know, when we talk about, you know, being nicer to the unhelpful clerk, or maybe not reacting so badly to the bad driver. You know, those are things everybody can relate to. But what about the effect of the hot temper in your family? The short answer, the sarcastic answer, the angry answer, the overreaction to those that you live with every day. Or maybe, you know, expand your definition of family to include our church family as well. Yeah, maybe our anger does show once in a while to those that are just chance acquaintances that we meet out in the business world. But no, when we talk about our family, it's very serious. Anger does not bring about the desired result in the home. A couple of results that take place when we use harsh words in the home, and neither one are desirable. You know, we use anger to get our way. But all these proverbs are showing us that you really don't get your way with anger. What do you get with anger? You get strife. You're not going to cause your spouse or your children to do what you want through uncontrolled anger. You may build resentment. You may build hostility. When the atmosphere of the home is conflict and strife, where there's outburst of wrath and uncontrolled anger, Proverbs 17, verse 14 says, "The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts." And it's going to be uncontrollable. You need to stop it before it even starts. Basically, what we've said, you know, several different ways here is that you're making matters worse through anger. But the problem is sometimes we can look back and say, well, I got my way, you know, through anger. You know, so it works for me to be an angry person. And so we've learned that anger is a powerful tool to get what we want. And if people would just go ahead and do what I want them to do, then I wouldn't have to get so angry. But then, so anger becomes this big, big tool. And you may be thinking in your mind, well, you're wrong, Randy. I don't get an argument. I get my way. So, you know, what about that? That may be the case. So, do we want to do the opposite of what Proverbs tells us to do because we think, you know, ignoring that, you know, really works for us? That intimidation and fear and yelling and screaming and uncontrolled anger is something that really works for me. Do you really want your spouse to do things for you because they know that you're going to bite off their head if they don't? I think deep down inside we know that's not really the way that we want things to be. Do you really want people doing things for you because they're scared to death of you? Or they know that they're going to get such a negative reaction that they're going to capitulate to you, and so you're going to end up getting your way because everybody fears the way that you're going to behave and how upset you're going to get when things don't go the way that you want. So the wise writer is telling us anger is not the way to go. But what I'm telling you is that there's a lot of people that try to use it in their life, and they think that they're getting what they want. But what they're getting is not what God wants. And what they're getting is they're making everybody else around them miserable. That we are destroying relationships when anger is our first resort. We don't need to be that way. We need to watch ourselves and realize that anger does not bring about the desired result. What we are told over and over in the Scriptures is to be slow to anger. A previous proverb said, "The soft anger turns away wrath." Solomon also said in chapter 15, verse 18, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." We need to be those people that are slow to anger. And how do we do that? Well, we need to realize, number one, the need to do it. And if we don't see the purpose of it, then certainly we're not going to change. When we see that God wants us to do it, that should be enough. But we need to see the effect it has. It makes us act like fools. It affects us in the home because we provoke wrath. We stir up strife. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." So James is saying, listen more, react less. Listen to what the other person has to say rather than formulating in your minds the next argument that you're going to make. Really try to hear what the other person is saying rather than just going to that default angriness, because I've got to win the argument. Solomon's saying, quit talking. James is saying, quit talking. Stop trying to win the argument. And, you know, discussions become completely unproductive when one or two people involved in it both feel like they need to be right. Bottom line is that it's very hard for us to make anybody do anything. And when we verbally beat someone to death, we feel like we won. Well, did we? What was the result of it? Did it really help us? Did it help us be the person that God wants us to be? Did we win that person over? Or do we feel like, well, we went our separate ways, but I had the last word? There is a lot that is said in the book of Proverbs about anger. Anger does not bring about the righteousness of God that we're supposed to have in our lives. And to state it another way, you know, we're losing our souls if we don't learn to control it. We are losing our souls if we don't learn to be slow to anger. And it's a good thing I wore steel-tipped shoes today, because I'm preaching to myself. Maybe it's good for some others as well. I think there's probably a lot that we can learn from the book of Proverbs. And this certainly is one that is helpful to me to look at and to try to emulate the wisdom that's found in this book in my life. And I hope that you will do that as well. If we can help you in any way this morning to respond to the gospel of Christ, we can help in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.